Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome here. And I know as all of you walked in, it is a beautiful place. Although I know our audience here, many of our investors and all of you as analysts, perhaps you as you drove up thought, I wonder how much this property is worth. It has crossed our minds many, many, many times. It is a beautiful area, but what I hope you're going to take away by the time you leave is the energy that is around here. So if any of you got to the sessions Pat mentioned this morning, boy, you saw it. And there is a reason we made you travel. How many traveled to be here? All of you. Yeah. Okay, me too. And all of us. And there's a reason. And some of you have actually written about this. You know, we, a few years ago, took you to India. And it was for you to see global integration. It was very important for you to see it in practice. And we wanted you here in Almaden. This is the home of big data. It is the birth of it. This is where the HDD was invented. This is where the relational database was invented for the world. SQL was invented. This is where the first data mining algorithm was. And, but even more important, this is the future of big data. And that, you can't leave here and not see that. And so that is why, you know, you're going to see in these innovation gallery, those are applications for enterprise big data. And I challenge you guys, come back and tell me at the end of the day. I challenge you will see the difference when we say big data versus when other people say big data and what it means to an enterprise. But you'll also see hardware. And so these little bit of the lab tours, these little mini lab tours, I know many of you have signed up. I want you to see atomic scale memory, right? There's four of them. I don't mean to bias you on what you go to, but atomic scale memory, you'll see the whole future of computing on cognitive computing on the chips there, and John will tell you more about it. But we really picked it coming here, and I hope at the end of the day you're going to tell me this was well worth it, because you are going to see what we mean by what we're working on now and in the future. And the other thing Pat said, and please take us to all the way on this, we did something that I know you've often said to us you value hearing from us, right, what I'm going to say, but you value more all the dialogue, which you didn't, I hope you noticed, multiple Q&A sessions. So, you know, depending your schedule or what you have to ask, it'll be with smaller groups. And then the lunch, the reception. So it shouldn't be anything that you don't have time to reach one of us about. So with that said, let me set the stage. Really important. You know, last year when I was with you, we were in May, and I said to you, I've often said to clients when they ask me about our strategy, I say, ask me what I believe. It's more enduring. And I shared with you the three strategic beliefs that I believe are going to guide IBM in the next decade ahead. And we talked about the move to higher value, an emerging new era of computing, and new markets, new clients. So they're enduring. They mature over time, and that's what I said to you. And I am going to come back now and tell you how they've matured a year later. And I particularly am going to dwell on this first one, which when I say move to higher value, it is crystallized clearly to me and the team. There are five key priorities for IBM, and they are a model of continuous transformation, a model of continuous transformation. And I'm going to challenge you, grade us on it. You can use it to grade any other company that you think has long-term value. Then second, I'm going to go back to that new era of computing. And to us, it has crystallized in Rod, Steve, Eric, the whole group. You're going to see multiple investments we've made along the way, developments, and it now crystallizes into something called smarter computing. So what might have looked as isolated actions, you're going to see how this thing pulls in together to something that is absolutely high-value infrastructure for the future. And then the third point, this update on new markets, new clients, let me just give you an update on the portfolio. That is just going to continue to move and grow. So, but let me first start with, although this audience I think knows it well, let me first start with a recap of 2012. So just to level set, or in those of you that are maybe new to us. I think 2012, one more time, demonstrated the flexibility of IBM's model, our financial model, our roadmap. And it certainly, and we're going to come back and show you some more data, it showed the importance of our growth initiatives. You know revenue, $104.5 billion. You know we expanded margin, generated lots of cash, record profit, earnings per share, and free cash flow, $18.2 billion. And for those of you that maybe didn't follow us a decade ago, that is $12 billion more than a decade ago. Not cumulative, on an annual basis. And earnings per share up 13% to $15.25, 10th year of double digit. And I might just remind you, every one of those years in between was a different economic cycle, right? 10, double digit. and on track as we are to hit the at least $20 per share earnings per share for 2015. I thought I'd also make a comment, though, about clients and their agenda for you. Because the other thing I shared with you when I was up here last year, I had said, it was May, I had said, you know, I had first set up sort of a target for myself in that first 100 days to go meet with 100 chief executives of our clients. Well, I ended the year at 500. I mean, it's something, A, I've always been passionate about being very close to what our clients do, but that tells you something about where their focus is. These are not, by the way, groups like this of 100. I mean, these are one-on-one or couple three, that kind of thing. And I can pretty well tell you this agenda, no matter where I am in the world, is going to be as I say to you here. It is simultaneous growth and productivity. Simultaneous growth and productivity. And every conversation, including I was with one of the world's best global companies yesterday, his whole team from around the world, it goes in this order. Politics, the economy, productivity. But then, what I think is more interesting to you, it always then circles in a pretty robust discussion about how do I capitalize on the confluence, and this is the important point, John Kelly's going to talk about it more, the confluence of big data, social, mobile, cloud, all at one time. That's the point, all at one time. And in fact, it ends every conversation with the idea that big data will be the basis of competitive advantage for every company, every industry for the next decade. And I'm going to show you what that means to IBM, too, as a company. It will be the basis for competitive advantage. So that is really the context. You know, it's going to drive IT. It's going to drive our future, our industry. I think it's going to drive business and society, by the way. So let me jump to, I said I'm going to update you on these, and I'm going to really dwell on this first point when I said, because to pursue it, we are going to be guided by a model of what I called continuous transformation. Continuous transformation. Again, I remind you, you guys live in our industry with us. You know that this is an industry of a relentless cycle of innovation, commoditization. One path to success is the commoditization. Our path is innovation. Our path is innovation, an innovation company, which means you relentlessly change and you keep moving to high value. It shapes what we do, it shapes who we are as a company, and it shapes a strategy. So let me give you this model. For us, it's five key priorities, five. And I'm going to give you proof points on them because I think you should challenge us and others for proof points on this. Think of a model scorecard. So if you believe in continuous transformation, and at the end I'm going to come to what I believe the real value of this to investor is then, the first thing you will do is you will always remix to higher value. That's probably the most obvious. You will always remix to higher value. And you'll do it three ways. You'll acquire. You'll divest, but you will remix organic research and development. And I challenge you, ask how often the last time you looked at a company, did you really look at what they remixed? First, they had a habit to begin with, okay? It's got to have research and development and research, and then if you remix it. So let me give you some of our results and what our beliefs are on each of these. First one is on acquisitions. Yeah, I mean, and I know you watch us on this. But we strongly believe companies get in trouble when they go to acquire something that takes them in an entirely new space, or they say, you know what, I don't like what I am, I'm going to acquire this to be the fire part to make me transform, you know, as the igniter for a transformation. That's trouble. You will find, and I'll reiterate, three questions we ask with every acquisition. First question, right? Does it actually extend a capability we have? Is it scalable intellectual property? And can we capitalize on the reach of 170 countries around the world? And that result, and that's why since the year 2000, I don't know if you've actually added them up, we do, 140 acquisitions. And I think this team that you're going to talk more to, they have got an impeccable track record because of that, right? Staying true to what you are and what you can do. Okay, second thing you divest. This is a choice about when and what. And I want to be clear. Over the last decade, we have divested $15 billion of revenue. We have divested $15 billion. If we had not, we would be a much larger company, potentially a faster growing company, but we would be a way lesser margin company. And I argue we'd have capabilities that our clients would be less interested in. And this is all about, to us, high quality revenue. And I've asked Mark. Mark is going to do a nice job showing you what we mean by high-quality revenue and which parts of our business are driving that and which parts we have more work to do on. And then the third thing you do is you remix your R&D. Again, you got to have R&D first, right? And I thought a wonderful example for you to bring this to life. Like I said, ask somebody. You're in research. This is part of research, Almaden here. If you were to go back 20 years, IBM research, 70% of IBM research was focused on material science. And 20 years ago, only 1 in 10 did software. And the 1 in 10 who did software, they did operating systems and compilers. Today, and you are going to meet a whole host of them in there. John, I don't know how many people we have, dozens and dozens. But you're 60% of research, not development, research supports our growth initiatives. 60% remixed to the growth initiatives. Go ask these guys what their backgrounds are. They are doctors, computational biologists. Yes, we have weather forecasters. All right, you will find everything in there. And that's, to me, the heart of why when you see big data, ours is all applied to the enterprise. Well, you got to have that skill in order to be able to do it. So you're going to see it come to life in there. Again, ask all these guys what they do. And gals, I mean that generically. Now, so this very first point about remixing to higher value, it does mean you have to have money to invest and you have to maintain it. We feel very strongly on this maintain through thick and thin. And if you look at just since the beginning of the decade, since the year 2010, we've invested $19 billion in research and development, $19 billion in those 3 years. And to kudos to John and the team and all of our teams, actually, this is the 20th year that IBM was awarded the record number of patents again. And as you'll know, we're the only U.S. company on that list, as you'll look. So that's just I'm going to dwell on these. That's the first sort of, I called it this lever of this model, remix to higher value. Second thing you do is you continuously make markets. And as I saw in one of your reports, this when I say make markets, it is at the intersection of software, hardware, and services. Right? That is our unique model at that intersection. And I want to just remind you guys, in the past, markets we've made, big data analytics, enterprise cloud, growth markets, smarter planet. You know, some of us, smarter planet introduced 2008. That makes this its 5-year anniversary. You recognize those as our growth plays, but they are just the beginning. So I want to lay out for you the way we think about making markets. 3 ways. First way, by category. Smarter Planet was a start. Let me tell you the most recent ones it has birthed as a result of that. Smarter commerce, smarter cities, social business. And those of you that look at the cities, I would tell you some of the hottest areas around the world, transportation, health, social services, and then what you might call resources, you know, because it's building, management, energy, water, and the like. Category. So smarter, as I say, smarter cities is a category. Another, workload optimized systems. That's the integration software hardware. You see Pure. We'll talk more about Pure, Rod, and team will. Cognitive systems. Again, a lot of software hardware together. You will see Watson. And I am very happy to say we have announced the first 2 commercial offerings of Watson in medicine. Again, the team will tell you there will be offerings in high value in Watson and high volume in Watson. And so I am very excited about this. And again, I won't steal their thunder and their fun on this. Next way you make a market is by geography. We've been clear, growth markets. And for 2 reasons. And this fits us. Modernization of infrastructure and the middle class is rising. And when they rise, they do telco, they do retail, they do banking. They are right in our spot. We open many new cities. Bruno and Jose will tell you about that. But I want to pause one moment on one. Again, if we steward this company for the long term, you have to plant roots deep here now. And one is Africa. Some of you may have read. It's the first time I've ever taken the entire team to one place at one time for so long abroad. And a couple weeks ago, we spent the week in Africa and a good part of it in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, will there be ups and downs between here and there and elections in Kenya and what's going to happen? Absolutely. However, we're already in 24 countries, and this is why we have done so well. This is why China grew 16%. This is why the BRICS have done well. You drop your roots very deep in what you mean to society, what you mean to the city, what you mean to education, and then it lasts for a very, very long time. So that will be the next frontier of growth for IBM, all right? Africa, and I particularly call out sub-Saharan Africa. And then the other way you make markets is new clients. And then I'll come back and give you more at the end on this. But just, I want to be clear about, you know, we've picked some target groups we're focusing on. Chief marketing officers, CFOs, chief HR officers, procurement, and mayors. Mayors, city leaders, generally speaking. So, two big levers so far. Remix to higher value for and you got to continuously do these things. These are not like, hey, wake up one day, do this, go quiet for 2 years. You remix to higher value, you make markets. The third one is you have to reinvent a core franchise. You have to reinvent a core franchise. I think this is topical for some companies out there right now. So on one hand, you got to know when and what to exit. We talked about that, like we did PCs, hard disk drives, and this year, you know, we divested the retail store system. It was better with a partner. But then you have to know what and when, but how to reinvent a core franchise. So I picked two as I thought would be a good example. Mainframe is one. As you, many again, widely wrote, Z was our largest capacity shipment in the fourth quarter, largest in its history of capacity for the Z mainframe. But if you looked underneath it, what are clients doing with it? Z's been reinvented. How many times, Rod? Countless now. Half of what the workload is on Z is Linux. That means x86 moving onto the mainframe. And it's tuned to do that. The other one, and I think this is, again, just step back until you step back and think about it, is middleware. You hear the word WebSphere. You've heard about it for a decade. Here's a great example of a reinvention. If you took WebSphere that we announced when it was originally announced and you brought it to a customer, they would pay you zero for it today. Absolutely zero. It is entirely open sourced today. Yet, last quarter, WebSphere grew double digit, and it's taking share. Why? That thing has been completely reinvented multiple times. Still says WebSphere, but as an example, Robert and team, you're going to talk about mobile first. The first enterprise portfolio for mobile, right? We'll talk about what that means. Enterprise, that's all part of WebSphere, right? So this idea to reinvent a core franchise and how, over and over and over. Then the fourth thing you'll do is you'll remix your skills and your expertise. Remix skills. So if you believe in innovation, you're an innovation company, you got to remix and go deep. I think that's the key word. You got to go deep. So over the last 3 years, we've added 8,000 skills in analytics, 9,500 new sellers on Bruno's team that are industry-skilled sellers. Bridget, Colleen will talk about as they're rebuilding global business services into the area of front office. The team has tripled mobile and social, doubled smarter commerce. They're opening labs together with research around client experience. Very different, right? You look under the cover. They look way different than they did years ago and will again. But then the last kind of lever, if I might, in this model, our priority, is you got to hold the mirror up and look at yourself as a company. And you have to reinvent your own enterprise. Now, we guys, and I know you give us credit for this, we are highly disciplined on productivity. Highly disciplined. But I will tell you, Mark and I, the others, we meet with so many clients around the world, and there are many steps others have not yet gone through. Mark, how many briefing sessions we do, right? And the first thing is you got to have common processes. And when running your own company, right, you'll see this in your own firms you work with, or you work in. Common processes, then shared operations, then the globally integrated enterprise. And by the way, let me pause there before I tell you where we're going. This is why there is such a big difference with us. We are about productivity, not cost. It is productivity. Now, of course, there's cost takeout, and that happens as part. But productivity makes all of the difference here, which we'll talk more about. Our next step is to be a smarter enterprise. Remember I said data will be the basis of competitive advantage? Hey, for us too. And that means analytics everywhere in IBM, how we manage risk, efficiency, marketing, sales. And IBM is and will be a premier social enterprise itself. Now, I'm not talking about social in the wild. I mean social in how an enterprise operates. It flattens it. It increases the speed. And it gets experts to clients way, way more efficiently. So this is why you're going to hear everyone with a lot of confidence about IBM's long-term future. And as Linda gets up, the confidence about the goal of $8 billion in productivity, 60% reinvested into that continuous transformation. So I wanted to really lay that framework out because it is how I think, it's how we think, and it is continuous. And as an investor, that funding of that continuous transformation means you better be really strategic on your use of cash. And that's what, again, many of you I appreciate have made that point. You got to be very strategic about your use of cash. But the biggest bottom line, I think, is a differentiator for us. We do this continuous transformation. We do it while we deliver a roadmap. We do it while we deliver to shareholders. We don't take a timeout. No time out to change skills, no time out for an operating model, we don't go dark, we deliver a roadmap while we go ahead and move to higher value. And that's why we'll be here in the next 100 years. So that's kind of really coming into view to me, what moving into higher value means, and I think it's a very interesting model that you can compare anybody against, and keep comparing us against, by the way, too. So second thing, quick update then on this new era of computing. Okay, I always want to go back to, because many of you, how many were here last year? Just give me half. Okay, so and all of you got very good memories. Last year, you'll remember, I talked about this next era of computing now through the perspective of the history of IT. We talked about each era 30, 50 years, tabulating, programming, that's what we're in today, cognitive next, Watson. This year, I twisted the lens, and I think it's going to be useful, again, as an investor. Let me do it through the lens of value capture. Who's going to capture the value of the next era of computing? Now, how is it captured? Who gets it? A little bit of history again. Host era, mainframe era, right, everyone's familiar with. And we clearly captured it and still capture it today. Then there was the client-server era. We participated. We did not lead. And you will recall that era as a time we almost died. All right. Third era, Web 1.0, reinvented. You'll remember e-business, the red E, e-business for the enterprise. Heck, WebSphere was the flagship, still here today, reinvented. Now is the next wave, and I want to come back to that point. It's the confluence of social, mobile, big data, cloud, all together, this confluence. Now, I'm going to be, I think we should be pretty proud. Guys, we've been talking about Smarter Planet for 5 years. That's many of these attributes here. To us, it's coming into view to something called smarter computing. And it is our strategy to capture the high value part of smarter computing. And it plays to our strengths. It's why we are investing in systems. So when you go and visit these labs, you will see they are systems. They are hardware, software integrated together. And in fact, again, we're going to show you how these isolated developments and investments pull together into this thing called smarter computing. These guys are going to do a way better job. Let me outline kind of the three broad tenets that are guiding our development, everything we do for smarter computing. It is designed for big data. It is built on a software-defined environment, SDE, and it will be open. So a couple quick comments on them. Big data. I'm telling you, when you go see this innovation gallery, you will know big. You will know what we mean by big. And I think what the team does really great is that they'll show you what clients use today is a fraction of what we're talking about. And I think that's to me the big wake-up call that when we work with most clients, that's when they're like, wow, this is way different, and this will change what I do. So this is why another piece of info that Mark will take you through. Given the success we have had, and it's grown strongly, in the roadmap, the 2015 roadmap, we're going to take analytics up from 16 to 20 billion in the 2015 timeframe. Now, so built for big data, things like power, they're born for big data, okay? Second thing, built on a software-defined environment. This is my simple way of thinking of this. It means the entire infrastructure is programmable. The entire infrastructure is programmable. And so this, look, this is a disruptive shift. Again, some of you have written about this. It's a disruptive shift. And cloud, virtualization and cloud would be early examples, visible examples, but that's not anywhere near the end of this. So a software-defined environment, you optimize the compute, the storage, the network, the whole data center is programmable. That's why when I say how we will capture value, it'll be systems for that high-value environment. Z, power, storage, I mean, these things are software-defined. They were birthed that way. As well, Pure is a family of software-defined. And then the third attribute is open. Now, there's a big client driver for open. Mobility is one of them. There are so many different devices out there. No one's going to rip and replace all this stuff. And no one will put in one proprietary stack. You can't. So you got to be open. And open means the innovation is done in ecosystems. So again, we've got a track record here, right? The work, those of you that have been around long enough know what we did with Linux, Eclipse, and what we did with Apache. And the very first thing you do is you support the open platform that's out there. Then the work we've done to help make it standard. You help build an ecosystem around it. But here's where you got to do then. The next most important thing we do is we build high value on top of it. So you will see us do more open collaborations. The team's going to talk about it. OpenStack for cloud, Hadoop, big data. Robert, big insights. You'll make a mention of big insights, you know, built on top of it. And then something today Rod will announce to you called Open Power, about leveraging power broadly through the industry. So this idea of big data, design for big data, software-defined environment, open, all pulled together, profound impact. There'll be new leaders. And as I said, we will capture the high value. And then I'm going to end with an update on that third strategic belief, which was making markets. And that you're going to hear a lot from Mike Roden, team on this today. But again, I'll just recap. We are focused on chief marketing officer, chief procurement, HR, mayors, and the like. Bridget and Mike are both going to cover this. But last year, I think when I was up here, I talked a lot about chief marketing officers. So those of you that look at companies that serve them, I mean, they are reinventing marketing, and they got to do three things. They got to focus on individuals versus segments. They got to focus on changing the client experience, and all of them are doing omnichannel. Anybody with a retail consumer is working on omnichannel. We have now done hundreds and hundreds of these briefings and CMO conferences. I am telling you, this was a virgin white space out there to go into. And so great examples of ING as a bank, Fast Shop in Brazil, Ralph Lauren in Asia. And this is why Global Business Services, you'll see Bridget talk about their smarter commerce, huge signings. This is all in that area. Okay, chief procurement. You will see Mike talk about, we broadened our portfolio for procurement officers. And by the way, all software as a service, almost all software as a service. Chief human resource officers. This is worth a pause. I want to connect again. Sometimes we'll do things and you'll think maybe they're isolated. You know, they always come together into a strategy around a category. So when it comes to HR leaders, I want you to take three facts, now put them together. IBM's ranked number one in social business for the enterprise. Add it to, we acquired Conexa recently. Conexa, it's a cloud system for talent management. And then add our analytics position. We pulled all three of these now together into an integrated portfolio that's smarter workforce. That's why we did kind of built on this point about always extending capability. That's smarter workforce now. CFOs, we've grown the risk profile, risk management, not their profile. We've grown their portfolio for risk products. And then mayors, we've announced a product around integrated operations center. And in fact, we talked about Rio last year. I think I'm pretty sure we talked about Rio last year. It is in many, many more cities now. So, but the big takeaway, and I'll probably end on this, the big takeaway for you and for us is that this is a front office transformation for clients. And it is the biggest change since ERP. Front office, biggest change since ERP. And the world will be transformed by data. And that is a powerful condition for IBM because of the software services and the high-value infrastructure we have built for data. So that is our future, and that is why it is our agenda. This move to high value, which I say is a model of continuous transformation around five things. If I'll just repeat just this remix to higher value, which is continuous. Remix to higher value, you've got to make markets, by the way, at the integration of software, hardware, services. You have to reinvent a core franchise, remix skills and service, skills and expertise, and you got to reinvent yourself, reinvent the enterprise. Second, this new era of computing, my big point, smarter computing. You'll hear it over and over. And then engaging new clients, we are going to keep making these markets. To the investors, those of you investors in the room, I hope you see what this means. It is that we deliver on our commitments to you. We deliver on our commitments in a shareholder roadmap. That's how we identify and pull together what those long-term commitments are, and we do it while we transform. So the rest of the day, you're going to hear why a team is confident of a decade ahead. You will hear our future. You will see our future. That's the big thing. You will see our future. So I want to just end with, and I'll do it at the end of the day too, but let me just pause with a personal thank you to you because you did travel. Some of you came from not just across the country. Some of you came from very far, and you had other schedules. So I want to thank you for taking that extra time to travel here today. and for giving us a whole day. And I will tell you, the team, we are excited, looking forward to this day, and I appreciate it.